All right, my beloveds. Go ahead and pull out your Bibles or your iPhones or your iPads or your iPods or your whatever it is you happen to have brought with you. We're going to be in the book of Colossians today. Colossians chapter 3. I like a good old-fashioned paper Bible. Love it. Never runs out of battery. It's always there for me. Something about the smell of a paper Bible is just invigorating. David's got an app for that. Wonderful. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start 3, verse 18. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." That's for my wife who's at home with the sick kiddos. No, just kidding. That's not where we're going to be today. Colossians, you can laugh. That was funny. That was pretty funny. She's laughing at home or she's going, "Don't." Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. But say, if you're coughing, keep it to yourself. Colossians 4, 2 says this, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I would proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." I've been working with the high schoolers. We've been talking about sharing your faith. We've been going through a series on what is the gospel and how can I present it to someone? How can I engage someone, whether I know them, whether I don't know them? How can I be sharing my life and my faith with someone? And I think it's a wonderful thing that when I was praying and asking what the Lord wanted us to hear, he brought me to a passage that comes on the same line of thought. There's three basic lessons out of this short pericope of Scripture. Not periscope. If you type that in Word, it always changes it to periscope. And no, we're not dealing with periscopes. Pericope. Lesson one is be devoted to prayer. How often are you taking personal times of prayer with the Lord? How passionate are you in your prayer walk with the Lord? When was the last time you denied yourself sleep in order to spend time being devoted in prayer? Now, those of you with young kids, you're like, "Don't!" My kids keep me up all the time, right? Little kids are great with keeping you awake. The thing with little kids is they have no problem calling out, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. I want a sip of water. I want a sip of water." No more water for you, right? I'm reliving a moment. My kids are constantly getting, but they're always calling out, calling out, calling out, calling out, because they know that Daddy will answer, right? There's not going to be a time when they call out that Daddy is not there and is not going to take care of whatever it is they want or they need. The same thing is true with us and our Heavenly Father. Are you calling out to Him? Are you asking Him for things? Are you being watchful and thankful in your prayers? Those are the two themes here in Colossians that Paul wants them to understand when it comes to prayer. He wants them to be watchful. He wants them to be careful with their prayers. He wants them to be watching what's going on in the world. Not just bunkering down in our safe little sanctuary and having a holy huddle. He wants us to be watching what's going on in the world. He wants us to understand that dark days are coming. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 6, and it'll illuminate it a little more for us. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 6. Spoiler alert. The end is coming. Not of the message, but the end. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 6 says this to us. "The Spirit clearly says that in the later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of faith and of good teaching that you have followed. God wants us to be watchful in our prayers. Once a pastor exhorted me, he said, keep a tablet. Keep a tablet in one hand and a Bible in the other. The newspaper to be watching what is going on in the world. What is happening out there? What's going on in Israel? What's going on in Africa? What's happening in our state? What's happening in the legislature? What's going on in politics? I'm not going to speak on politics, but you should know what's going on, and you should be watchful in your prayers about what is going on around us, because dark days are coming. And it says here that there will be people that will latch on to whatever their itching ears want, they want to hear. They will be deceived by demons and by convenient truths and teachings, webs of lies. Don't be caught. Why does the Spirit exhort us to be careful and to pay attention to these things? Because we can be caught in those web of lies. If it was impossible for us to be deceived, He wouldn't have to warn us. It would make no sense for God to warn us if we were immune to being deceived. We're not immune. We can be deceived. So in your prayers, be watchful. Be mindful. Be praying for each other. I get to edit the Ustream, so if I say anything I don't like, I can go onto the Ustream and edit it out next week. Yes. Edit that part out. Daniel, just go ahead and edit that next section out. Right? Speaking myself way in the future. He also says, be thankful. He wants all of our prayers to be soaked, to be steeped in thankfulness. Joyfulness, thankfulness, gratitude for what God has done for us. He wants our focus to be on the good things. He wants us to be watchful, but He also wants us to be thankful, filled with the joy of the Lord. Turn with me to Philippians 4, 4 through 7. That's Philippians 4, 4 through 7. My favorite parts of Scripture. It says this: rejoice in the Lord always, and I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. We should think on that. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I love that while Paul is writing this to the church in Colossae, as he's writing it, hoping that it will get to all of the churches, he's telling them to be watchful, he's telling them to be thankful, he's telling them to focus their energy and their heart on God. And he's in chains right now. Now, there's a bit of debate, theological debate, depending upon who you read. He could be here, he could be there. The fact of the matter is he was in chains. He was uncomfortable. He probably had a really hard time with light in prison. Think being chained in a dank cell with rats, not very good provisions, having a guard chained to you 24 hours a day, no privacy whatsoever. And does the Apostle Paul say, pray that I could be out of here. Pray that God would fling open the doors as I know He could. Is that what the Apostle Paul asks for here in prayer? No. The Apostle Paul says, be watchful, be thankful, and then he flips his focus. He does. He asks something for himself. What does he ask for him, for himself, for him personally? It's right here in Colossians 4. He says, pray also for us. Now, he's not being selfish here. You'll see what he's asking for. For us too, that God may open a door. Now, he's not talking about the cell door, which I would be tempted to say, God, could you just, have the chains fall off, have the door fling open, blind the guards, pull a Mission Impossible escape. Dun, 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 dun. That's what I would be tempted to pray. He doesn't pray that at all. Pray so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. So while he's in discomfort, while he's chained, while he's malnourished, pray that I will be effective in sharing the gospel while I'm in chains. Pray that I would proclaim it clearly, as I should. He's saying, each time I share, each time I get an opportunity, each time they switch out a guard, I mean, he's thinking, yes, I've got someone chained to me who can't get away. That's right. Guard can't get away. This is the way the entire Praetorian Guard, the elite, the best of the best of the guard of the day heard about Jesus. Every last one of them, because of his faithful, clear preaching. And that is what he asks for. Is it wrong for us to ask for things for ourselves in prayer? No. But be careful what you ask for. He doesn't wish away the difficulty as if God were a genie to make everything better. Because we read in the book of Acts that there are times when God will. He will open the prison door. He will miraculously deliver his people. There's all sorts of miraculous things that God will do when we pray. And later on in James it says, you do not have because you do not ask. And James exhorts us to ask, but ask for the right thing. In James it says, when you ask with the wrong motive, you're not going to receive. Ask and ask for the right thing and you will receive. The focus of prayer is not making his life easier, but making his ministry successful. That was the apostle's heart. So when was the last time you spent some intentional, deep prayer time with someone that you know, with someone that you love? When was the last time you set that as a priority in your schedule? Seeing as how no one's going to jump forward, let's do it right now. As in right now. I would like you to take gals with gals and guys with guys. Just as Pastor Rich would have you trade cards, I'm going to have you do it just a little bit differently. I want you to split about into groups of three or four, gals with gals and guys with guys. I want you to take just a little bit of time right now. And I want you to focus on those three things. Three things. First of all, being thankful. What can we be thankful for? And if there's just three or four of you, shouldn't take that long to share what you're thankful for, I hope. What do we need to be watching out for? How do we need to be careful not to be trapped up by the lies of the enemy? What do we need to be watchful of? And then third thing, and very importantly, praying over each one. Where does God want me to minister that I want you to pray effectiveness over? Where has God planted you that he wants you to grow? And pray for fruitfulness there. Not for the difficulty to go away, because that's kind of our natural thing is, Lord God, make the bad stuff go away. And I don't want you to pray that. I don't want you to pray for bad stuff for them. God, make his life so miserable that he becomes a holy guy. No. Don't pray that. Let's not do that to each other. But be praying for those opportunities to come this week. So find some people that you know and that you're comfortable enough to pray with, and let's pray right now. Stand up. Everyone stand up. Should we do a mixer game? Shall I have you pop around like popcorn and then like groups of three, go? Grab a few people. Youth, you can grab youth. The three girls, you can go together. Guys together with guys. Groups of three or four. Thankfulness, watchfulness, effective ministry. You're a group of three. Oh. start rounding up the prayers. One more minute. All right. I hope that you learned a little something about someone that you didn't know in a good way, and that you'll continue to pray over each other and pray with each other. It's important that we do this regularly and frequently, that we're around each other enough to know how to be praying for each other, that we're sensitive. I like to think of prayer as the pulse beat. Where's your pulse beat? Is your pulse strong? Are you growing in the Lord, or is your pulse growing weak and growing faint? Are you growing stronger in your walk with the Lord, in your prayer walk, or is it something that I pray when I have to? I pray at dinner when my mom makes me pray. Is that when you pray? Or are you intentional about praying with the Lord? There's two other lessons here. We started with be devoted in prayer, being watchful, being thankful. The next one I call being wise in our actions. Again, we're in Colossians 4. Colossians 4, 5 says this, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. I actually did a little bit of a Greek study on this specific passage, and it says the word in Greek is actually talks about buying. It says buy the opportunity. Whatever it takes, purchase it. My youth know what this is. Yeah, sure, you're welcome. Here you go. He's laughing. It's all yours. Yes. My youth are getting a laugh. I'll fill everyone else in. It's actually a tract. It's a Way of the Master tract. It's not actually a $100 note. In case you were wondering, I didn't actually just hand him $100. I handed him something more valuable than $100, actually. As a reminder to be buying those opportunities. It is so, so, so important that we are looking for them. We don't let them pass us by. They happen at the most random times. I remember I was at the statue of Nelson Mandela in Pretoria in South Africa, and a guy wanted to come and sell me a picture, right? So, I mean, he's a professional photographer. He's got machines to print the picture right there, and apparently if you stand in one certain spot and reach up your hand just like this, it looks like the statue of Nelson Mandela with a picture. It looks like he's reaching down and, like, taking your hand. So wouldn't that be so cool to have a picture with the statue of Nelson Mandela holding your hand? Well, I was not interested in buying anything, but as he came up and approached me, I said, well, let me share with you. And using that exact method and tract said, let me ask you a few questions, and then just walked him through the questions. God opened the door, and the interesting thing was, I said, one of my students was mainly, go get the tract, go get the tract out of the car. So he went and grabbed a couple. And after I spoke with this guy, not only did he get convicted, he took three of them, and two of the other photographers came over because they didn't have any business right then, and he started handing them out to the other guys. And one guy's like, oh, no, I'm not interested. And the guy was like, take it. He's like, okay. Okay, I've never used that tactic with someone. Take it. You will accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Not a tactic I've ever used, but a wonderful opportunity because I was paying attention. He wanted something from me and I wasn't buying physically. And yet, the Lord had designed a moment for him and for his two buddies, not just for him, because one of them was in a cult, one of them was not saved at all, and he had a bit of a religious background. But all of us know a religious background is not enough to save you. once way back when I was a baby, someone sprinkled water on me, is not enough. It is not a vital, sustaining relationship with Jesus. Are you paying such close attention that when these opportunities present themselves to you, that you take it, that you buy it? I always thought I was watching the Way of the Master series with my youth, and we're going to be working through it systematically. And at one point, one of the ways that Ray Comfort is warming up the people, he says, all right, I'll tell you what, free money. If you can answer the question, I'll hand you 20 bucks. And these are actually real notes. He's not handing out the tract to be like, ha, gotcha. No, he's actually handing out free money. And I'm like, that seems ridiculous, right? Ridiculous that he would just hand out free money. But right here in the scriptures, it says buying the opportunity. Looking out for the opportunity, not just waiting for the fish to jump in the boat. Right? Because how many flying fish do you know that jump right into the boat and say, save me? None. It's never happened to me. Has it happened to you? Have you ever been fishing and a flying fish jumped right into your boat and you were like, that's a pretty good looking fish. I think I'll keep that fish. It's never happened to me, right? Maybe it's happened to you, but never to me. Be taking a hold of these opportunities. Being wise in your actions. I was going through another translation and it talks about living winsomely. That prudently, that your life is such an amazing testimony that people want to know what is different about you. I've told this story in one of my previous sermons, so bear with me if you've heard it before. A wonderful man of God was at the airport, and he was standing in line. John Wimber was his name. He was actually the founder of the Vineyard Movement. Wonderful man of God. And he was doing nothing overtly evangelical at all. He was just standing in the line, and someone actually came and stood really close to him. And this wasn't South Africa, this was the United States. And so like he's like, you're way inside my personal bubble. And so he said, excuse me, can I help you with something? Thinking that they maybe they just thought he was someone else. And they said, no, it feels so nice to be around you. I can't explain it. Would you mind if I stand right here? And John, being the wonderful man of God that he was, said, you're welcome. And shared the love of God with this person in the airport, in the line, waiting for an airplane. Is your life like that? Is your life so radiating God's love that people want to stand close to the heat lamp of God's love in your life? Or are you a little bit like a prickly porcupine? Keep your distance. I love Jesus. You should love Jesus too. But if you get too close, I will stick you. Well, where are you at today, right? Are you buying the opportunities? Are you seizing them, making every chance, every opportunity to witness into someone's life? Are you witnessing without words? St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel in every way, and when necessary, use words. Is your life such a vibrant testimony of God's love that people want to know how to do that too? Is your marriage such an amazing, solid, wonderful biblical marriage? I'll try not to look at anyone, embarrass anyone, because there's totally a couple I'd be like, when I am in your age, I want my marriage to look like your marriage does. Your marriage is so beautiful and so attractive. You've been together for all this time. You haven't not only killed each other, but you still love each other and still put your arm around your beloved. You're still compassionate with each other. There's still a fire there, right? Married people, is your marriage at a place where when people look at it, do they say, I want nothing to do with Christians? I want nothing to do with marriage? Or is your marriage such a beautiful picture that when the youth look to your marriage, they say, someday, some way, I want something like that. That is what God is speaking about here. Buying the opportunity. Making sure that when they look at your life, they see Jesus. When you serve your wife, how you speak about her in public, how you speak about her when it's the men's breakfast and you know that she'll never hear. How do you speak about your beloved, right? Oh, you'll never believe, you know? Or, my wife blessed me so much, right? She's got 3 sick boys and a sick dragon at home, and yet cleans the house, makes me food, loves me even when I'm an irritable, crotchety old bear, loves me so much, loves me the way God loves me, right? That is what this scripture right here is talking about. Be wise in your actions, in your dealings with outsiders. It also speaks to our businesses. Now, my business is the church, so I kind of have one and the same. But if you are in a secular business, are you being so honest and so forthright and so upstanding that people look to your business practice and they say, I would love if my business flourished like yours does. Even if it means you don't make as much money, you do the right thing. Is your business, is your public life of such a high moral character that people won't even ask questions about how you run your business? Is that you? That's what God wants from us. In our marriages, in our relationships, in our actions, and when he opens the door for witnessing. The last lesson that comes out of this short little piece in Colossians is, I've called it, be evangelical with your words. St. Francis of Assisi's powerful statement is an incomplete one. He said, preach the gospel in every way, in every possibility, when and only when it's necessary, use words. Right? I would say, definitely use words. Because God's word here, if you read on, exhorts us to do just that. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Your conversation at school, your conversation at work, when you're talking with your coworkers, when you're talking to the IT department, right? When things are not going so well in the IT department. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Dealing with difficult people. Let your words be so seasoned with grace and so salty with the Lord that they desire it. When was the last time you ate something so, so salty you were like, man, I just need to drink some Aquafina right now? No, Aquafina did not pay for that advertisement. That one was free. Have your answers ready. I'm going to use my brother. He'll probably not ever see this message. Don't tell him he's in this message. I'll tag him in it. Don't worry. He works for an IT company in South Africa, and they have not a lot of downtime, but IT sometimes is very busy, and he runs all day, and some days he's got lots of time to talk. And the guys that he hangs out with, they're in the IT department, talk about everything, right? And they have questions. And they know that he's a believer. They know that Stephen, my brother, is not going to do the things that they're going to do. They know it. And so when they have questions, do you think they come to a pastor? Do you think they walk into a church? No. They ask him, and they put him on the spot. And I tell you, he is always ready to answer with wisdom. And my brother's got such quick wit. It's just fantastic to hear the stories that come out of his IT department talking about, oh, well, you really don't have to use only Jesus as the way of salvation. He's like, and then routes it. This is what God's word authoritatively says. There is one way. And he might be the only Bible that they ever read. And I tell you, he's a good read. He does exactly what this is. He's ready for those conversations. Not because he has a tract in his top pocket and he's ready to go that way, but he is constantly ready with the answers to the questions that they have. And sometimes, every once in a while, we'll go back and forth. He'll say, hey, the guys were asking about this theological thing here or there. What do you think about it? Because I've had more time to study God's word than he has. Every once in a while, we'll go back and forth and share. But the idea is always being ready. In case you've missed it and didn't get the full impact of what he's trying to say here in Colossians, turn with me to 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. 2 Timothy 4. I used this earlier in the message, and I want you to see that it wasn't my opinion. This is really right here in God's word. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 3 says this. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Now, he's not giving a suggestion. He's not saying, when you feel like it, when you wake up and you're in a really good mood, he says, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. There's three separate channels. And depending upon what's going on in the IT department or wherever it is you happen to be, wherever God has planted you, sometimes He wants us to correct. Sometimes they'll float an idea that is just a whole bunch of hot air. So my brother whips out the pen and pops it, right? Corrects it. What you've spoken is not the truth. And he corrects it gently. Sometimes it's actually a rebuke to say what is actually going on here is not a good thing. Not only is it not a good thing, it's going to burn you and your family and your friendships. Don't do it. And the third one is instruct. Correct. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. The third one is encourage, right? This is the one that is so, so, so important. So often we're known for what we're against, but are we known for what we're for? Because Jesus was for people, and we need to be also. We need to be encouragers. It was so funny. My oldest son, who is a natural-born leader type, and he will correct anybody. Doesn't matter who you are. If you do something that he doesn't like, he's going to correct you. He just is. If you've been around him for longer than 5 minutes, you'll see this. He's also a natural encourager. Dada, can you blow my nose? Sure, I can. So I take out the thing and I fold the thing and he's like, good job, Dad. Thank you. And then walks off and I'm like, didn't my 5-year-old just tell me I did a good job at blowing his nose? Yes, he did. A natural encourager. And that is part of what God wants us to be and to cultivate a culture of encouragement, being positive, right? Inspiring. The last part right here is what I want you to hear, connects to the earlier thought about being watchful in our prayers and watchful in our lives, not receiving the lies that the world is constantly going to be throwing at us. It says this, it says, for a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around themselves a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want them to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Now, do you think that's only written for Timothy? Do you think he's the only person that this applies to? What is your ministry? Where has God specifically called you where he wants you to speak up? Whether it be school or work, worship team, wherever he has called you, wherever he's planted you, those three things, being devoted to prayer, because prayer is like priming all of this. It's no accident that when he's giving this instruction, he starts with prayer. If Dave led worship and didn't bother to tune his guitar, how well would worship go? Have any of you ever tried to play a guitar that's not tuned really well? Oh my goodness, it is awful. Prayer tunes your heart and your life and your mind and your words, tunes it into what God wants you to do. That is what prayer does. Be devoted in prayer, being wise in your actions, and be evangelical with your words. I was reading a book by Greg Kuchel, wonderful, wonderful book, and he says, at the outset of an engagement of speaking to anyone, whether he be in the line at the pharmacy or whether he be actually in a speaking debate engagement, his end-all goal is not to convert someone to Christianity in that conversation. His primary goal with every conversation that he has, irrespective of whether it's someone who's caught in Wicca or someone who is a devout follower of Christ, is to put a stone in their shoe. Right? That little nugget of truth that he drops into their shoe. Have you ever had a really big stone in your shoe and you didn't have time to get it out? And each time you step down, you're like, man, that doesn't go away. Golly. You know, and you're trying to shake it around in the shoe when you really want to stop and get it out of the shoe, but you don't actually have time to do it, so you got to keep going. Right? That's what Greg Kuchel encourages people to do. That stone of truth right into their shoe. Bloop. Something that they can chew on. Might not necessarily mean that they get saved today, but a divine appointment to drop that piece of truth right into their life and pray that God will use it to eventually bring them to their knees, bring them right to the cross where they can receive the grace that they desperately need to receive. Amen? All right. The last thing I want to do tonight, and we are just a little bit early, my grandfather's Bible. Faithful man of God, taught the Word of God on Sunday schools every single week and use this family Bible to do it. It's a treasure of mine. It's also the old Amplified. So it's not the new Amplified, it's the old Amplified. And I like the way they put things together. But I want you to close your eyes and listen to how the Amplified puts it. And we'll call it a night shortly after that. Colossians 4. Be earnest and unwearied, steadfast in your prayer life, being both alert and intent in praying with thanksgiving. And at the same time, pray for us also, that God may open a door for us for the word, the gospel, to proclaim the mystery concerning Christ the Messiah, on account of which I am in prison, that I may speak boldly and unfold the mystery, proclaim it fully and make it clear, as is my duty. Behave yourselves wisely, living prudently with discretion in your relations with those of the outside world, the non-Christians, making the very most of the time and seizing, buying up the opportunity. Let your speech at all times be gracious, pleasant, and winsome, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may never be at a loss to know how you ought to answer anyone who puts a question to you. Lord Jesus, we ask that these words would burn in our hearts, that they would encourage us to be fervent in our prayers, they would encourage us to be real about witnessing to you, about living radically transformed lives for you, Lord God. We thank you so much, Lord, that you love us and that you have wonderful purposes for us. And I thank you, Lord God, that your designed purposes for each of us are different and beautiful, Lord God. May you continue to work in our lives. May you be our healer, our sustainer, Lord God. May you be doing that beautiful and wonderful work in us, Lord. We thank you so much for your love for us that you've lavished on us, Lord God. When we go through difficult things, Lord God, you are our strength. May we turn to you, oh God. We pray, Lord God, for this week that you would give us those opportunities to speak your truth in love, to put the stone in people's shoes, Lord God, and maybe just that special moment to bring someone right up to the cross and to see them change their life with you, Lord God. I thank you so much for your passion for us, for your love and your care for us. I thank you, Lord God, for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.